Greetings, and welcome to our study on 2 Timothy. Today we're looking at chapter 1, and we are going to start with verse 12. Verse 12 is the last sentence in a section. It begins in verse 8. In verse 8, Paul says, "Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." So Paul begins this section by saying, don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner, Christ's prisoner, not Nero's prisoner. And he's connecting Timothy to himself by saying, similarly, you may also be subject to these problems that I'm facing. You're going to be persecuted. So he gets down to verse 11 and he says, after talking about the gospel and grace that the gospel is built around, verse 11, he says, "Of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher." And now he turns in verse 12 and says, "That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I've believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day." He says, I was an apostle, I was a teacher, a herald, and because of that, because I fulfilled my role as an apostle and herald and teacher, I'm suffering. That's why I'm suffering. I'm suffering because I did what I was supposed to do. And then he says, but I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of being in prison. He's in prison. He's sentenced to death. He's not complaining. He's not discouraged. But what he's saying is, I'm not ashamed because I've not disgraced myself. I've not done something that got me put into this position. I've not done something wrong. I've not broken the law. And this place of dishonor, prison, should not be shunned but accepted, because it can be a place of honor. A place of dishonor can become a place of honor if you're there for the right reason. So Paul is like identifying with Christ. Christ hung on a cross, though he committed no sin. Paul is imprisoned for basically doing what he was called to be, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he says, I am not ashamed, and I am not discouraged. I'm not down, and I want to encourage you to continue to stay faithful to the doctrines that we've learned. Because, why? Because I know whom I've believed. I'm confident in Jesus Christ. I know who God is. I know that he will take care of me, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. Now, some believe he's talking about the gospel, but I don't believe so, because he says that it's God who is going to guard it, not Paul. Paul will later tell Timothy to guard the deposit. But here Paul says, I'm confident that God, he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him. And what I've entrusted to him is myself, Paul, and my salvation. Paul says, I'm confident, I'm not discouraged, I'm not ashamed, because I am confident in the one that I put my confidence in, which is God. And I know that God will hold and guard all that I've entrusted, my eternal life, everything that I have look forward to, is guaranteed by God. God's making sure of that. So he turns to verse 13, and he says, now, since you've joined me in this, he says, what you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So he says, first of all, hold to the pattern that you have heard from me. Hold the message, the gospel, the good news, the teachings, that which I've been a herald, a teacher, an apostle of. Hold on to that. And he says, it does matter what you believe in. And it does matter what you believe. And in our confidence is in Christ Jesus, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. It tells me a couple things here. One, that the things that we are to hold on to are the things that are explained to us in the Bible, in Scripture, the message of God, the Word of God. And I'm especially attuned to those things that are true, but true at any point in time since they've been delivered. And in any environment or any peoples or any place in the world since they were delivered, it has to be true for me today in America. It has to be true for people that lived 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. It'll have to be true for people who are born much later than I am. It has to be true for people who live anywhere in the world and in any culture, in any society. What is true is going to be true for all people for all time. And that's why I need to have confidence in the message, the pattern of sound teaching. I think sometimes we think, well, it may have been true at that day. And as we learn to interpret and understand Scripture from the environment in which it was delivered, sometimes we put so much emphasis on that, we think, well, now that we're in a different environment, it may mean something different, or it can be interpreted something different, because today things are different. So we look at things differently and we think of things differently. So it doesn't have to be the same. But what Paul is saying is that we hang on to it. Paul said what was true for me is going to be true for you, Timothy. And it's going to be true right now while we have apostles in the world. And it's going to be true in a few years when we're gone. And it'll be true in a few decades, generations, and centuries. The same things are true. And he says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. And that good deposit that was entrusted to Timothy is not the same as what Paul talked about it here when he talked about what God was guarding, which was him and his eternal life. Here he's talking about the gospel, that truth, that teaching that he talked about just a few verses earlier. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, and guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Paul was letting Timothy know that, yes, Timothy has some weaknesses. He's timid. He struggles with things. He doesn't view himself as all that important. And Paul says, you guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. You may not be strong, but the Holy Spirit is, and it's going to help take care of you. It's going to help you guard that truth. Which also reminds me of the idea that God's word is being protected. That God tells Timothy that the things that I've taught you, the Holy Spirit's going to help you hold on to that. Well, how much more does the word of God with the protection of the Holy Spirit give us confidence that what we have today is essentially what God said in the beginning through his writers? God is able to protect. His Holy Spirit has a purpose, and one of those purposes is to help guard that. In verse 15, it goes on, you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phlegas and Hermogenes. First of all, it looks like probably Paul may have called on his friends to come and be witnesses. In his defense, he was called on trial and he asked, and either those who had come with him, those he had called upon them, everyone in the province of Asia has deserted him. No one showed up. No one stuck around. No one tried to help. And it's that he is perhaps reminding Timothy, you probably there in Ephesus would know as well as I, no one wants to step up. No one wants to come help. And he seems especially surprised that Phlegas and Hermogenes didn't do it. And that may have been surprising. For some reason, it's described as a surprising thing. Maybe they were quite confident that they would have, but they didn't. And Paul makes note of them. We know nothing else about these folks, except that it seemed surprising to Paul that they didn't step up. And so now Paul closes this first chapter with another example. He says, first of all, to imitate his mother and grandmother. He says, I want you to imitate me, and now I want you to be to imitate Onesiphorus. And he says, may the Lord, verse 16, show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, who because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. May the Lord show mercy to the household. Now, Onesiphorus was someone who evidently came to Paul. Unlike everyone else in Asia, unlike Phygellus and Hermogenes, he showed up. And now, I don't know if he is now in prison because he came to see Paul, or he was killed because he came to see Paul, or he was just simply stuck where Paul is. And so he says, listen, I want you to show mercy on the household of this man who came and took care of me and refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chains. When Paul first arrived in Rome and was taken captive, no one knew where he was, unlike the first time when everyone knew where he was and they could go visit. And so Onesiphorus would have to come and hunt for him and ask about him. Where's Paul? How to find Paul? And in doing so, would put him at risk. It would be identifying with the prisoner. But Paul says in verse 17, on the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. He really searched hard. And what Paul was saying is that Onesiphorus really risked his life to try to come and find him and encourage him and stand with him. And I don't know all that he did. We don't know. But we know that Paul is saying, Timothy, I want you to be like this. I want you to be like your mother and grandmother and have their faith. I want you to be like me and be not discouraged or ashamed when you're faced with difficulties, but hang on to the doctrine and be like Onesiphorus. Be brave and search and be willing to help and encourage me in every way that you can. And those who are in danger, those who are at risk. And verse 18, he closes this section by saying, may the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. Thus, I believe Onesiphorus probably got in trouble or may have gotten killed because he says he was not ashamed of my chains. He often refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chains. When he was in Rome, he searched hard for me. And now may the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. It seems like he's talking about Onesiphorus as someone who has left this life. And so now his household needs to be taken care of. Onesiphorus is seemingly gone. Timothy has been asked to please step in and have the church take care and bless his family. Again, may the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Onesiphorus was someone who was in Ephesus, was an assistant to Paul, much like Timothy and others were, was a great encourager in some capacity, and now came to Rome, sought out Paul, and did the same thing for Paul in Rome they did in Ephesus, though it put him at risk. It's a reminder of the opportunities that we sometimes have to be help and encouragement to other people. There are often times when we're not on the front lines, but other people are. And sometimes our role is nothing more than to encourage those people, to be able to maybe support them, maybe just step up and provide for them, do what they need or provide what they need. Pray for them, send them notes or whatever that we can do to help them. And that's what Onesiphorus did for Paul. And he did it not just when it was easy at home, but he did it going somewhere where it put him at risk. And so Paul says, Timothy, I need you to be encouraged. Onesiphorus was a man who lived the gospel. He didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. He did it when it was easy, and he did it when it was difficult. He did it when he was at home, and he did it when he had to go somewhere and put himself at risk. And so Timothy has been encouraged here in chapter 1 as we close with this need to hang on to truth, hang on to doctrine, to the true teachings. Timothy's been wrestling with false teachers, with people who want to teach things that are wrong, and he says, have that same faith that your mom and grandma had, but when they were willing to, as Jews, accept Christianity as this offer them through Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to be encouraged to follow after me and be willing to risk, be willing to be harmed, be willing to be imprisoned for doing the job you've been called to, knowing that all that we are and all that we have has been entrusted to God, who will protect it. We have our salvation protected and provided. And he says, and be like Onesiphorus, be willing to work, be willing to serve, do the work of a good Christian. Onesiphorus wasn't necessarily a great evangelist. He wasn't a famous anybody, but he worked hard for the Lord. And because of that, Paul uses him as an example to Timothy to go ahead and grow and learn and to become a faithful in-season, out-of-season servant. That's the end of chapter 1, the end of our 3 studies on chapter 1. I hope that you have gained from them, and I look forward to our next lesson as we start chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. And until then, have a blessed day.